This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network. All your ears are belong to us. Error Code 8 is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. On this episode of Error Code 8, warrantless wiretapping is considered legal. Blizzard gets hacked and loses some data, and Google Plus gives us custom URLs instead of those long numbers. Stay tuned. Sam, my friend, here we are again.
Indeed.
Welcome back to the Error Code 8 podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jesse Miller. Joining me, as always, the techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello and welcome back.
All right, guys, we're going to jump right into the news. Not a whole lot of it will blow you off your seat today, but there are some things we need to talk about. First thing we need to talk about, and this may seem kind of vain, almost. Well, not really, because it's not about me, but you know. Google Plus is going to start offering custom URLs instead of the big long numbers. So instead of someone saying, oh, go to my Google Plus profile, I'm Google Plus, plus.google.com/59613471566. It's stupid, the number that they give you. Instead of that, now you will actually be able to go to something like plus.google.com/Britney Spears. You know, so I don't know.
That still seems a little complicated, but okay.
It is. It's still just a smidge complicated. They are only rolling it out to like a limited number of verified profiles and pages, so celebrities and big brands and stuff like that. So this is not coming to the everyday man yet, but hopefully soon. Are you waiting for your verified Google Plus URL, Sam?
No. Actually, I didn't even know it used numbers.
Yeah, they do.
I do have. Well, we will talk about it at the end, I'm sure. But since creating my Google Plus, I don't know how to get back Google Plus profile. I've logged into it like once, like actually clicked on it. I'm always logged into it now. Being always logged into my Gmail, but I've clicked on it once. You guys don't post anything there. It's a ghost town.
Anyway, so a couple people are going to be really excited about this. I'm okay with it. I could handle having a shorter name on Google Plus. It's kind of hard to hand that number out to everyone. All right, next story on our list. That's right. We got a list. We're cool. Google, again, see, it's almost as if I arranged these stories. Google has, since the beginning of the internet, pretty much been dogged about helping pirates, because a pirated website, or one that hosts copyrighted content, tends to get a lot of page views, because nobody wants to pay for anything. I mean, that's just the way life is. So, since no one wants to pay for anything, they all go to these pirated websites, and the site rank ends up moving up because there's so many views. Google has now taken an active role in changing that algorithm. The site rank now will take into account how many valid copyright claims have been put onto a site to try to push the pirate websites down farther on the actual Google search results. They're hoping that this forces people to look for more legal avenues to get content. I've got news for you, Google. While a lot of people do use you to find these torrents and and Usenets and everything like that, they don't need you to find them.
No.
There's so many other places they can find them. So, I don't know. I don't know if this is useful or useless, but
it's really just Google covering their own, keeping themselves safe.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I figure. Is they're just trying to keep everyone off their back with the simplest thing possible. They're not censoring any of their search results. They're just changing the site rank according to legality. I mean, that's okay. I'm all right with that, because that means you could still go a couple more pages into your searches and find the same sites. They're just going to be moved down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And it is something, if it does pull up the legitimate sources, then even if that source gets one additional person because they're too lazy to click page two, and believe me, I know people like that. I'm sure we all know people like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if it does help, you know, one or two sites get legitimate, okay. There's no real drawback to this. Because I figure any computer geek worth his, you know, weight in gold definitely has most of those websites memorized at this point in time.
Yeah, for the most part. I don't understand how you couldn't. Yeah. I mean, not that I pirate.
Well, they're in the news often enough. I think we talk about them every other podcast.
All right, next on our story list, Blizzard. You don't hear a lot from them anymore, do you? It's funny because it's not true. Anyway, so Blizzard has suffered another security breach. It's said that the attackers were able to get away with encrypted passwords. So these are passwords that are fully encrypted, not, you know, plain text or anything. Also, answers to personal security questions and authenticator data. Now, that's actually kind of a big one. Now, granted, while the passwords are encrypted, that doesn't mean that they're impossible to decrypt. It just means someone would really have to want it and really have some time on their hands. You know, they could brute force it if they absolutely had to. Now, with the authenticator data, the authenticators on Blizzard's account stuff is basically, it's a device, either a little keychain, or I have mine on my phone. It's a device or an app that when you start it up, it has a special key that is shared with Blizzard, and it creates a random string of numbers that corresponds to that cryptography key. And then you put in your password, you start up the program, then you have to put in the number that's on your authenticator. And then that lets you into your account. So it's basically just a two-stage authentication. But having that authenticator data means that, you know, they've got one whole stage of the two-stage authentication. The other stage is just horsepower, time, and effort to get the cryptography broken on the passwords. Blizzard is saying that credit cards, billing addresses, and customer names were not accessed. There's no reason for them to think any of that data was stolen. But they still suggest that you, and we suggest, that you change your password.
Indeed.
Just in case. You know, I mean, and we're not talking World of Warcraft, we're not talking Diablo 3, we're talking all of them. So if you have a Blizzard account for anything, go in, change your password. It's, you know, I've been hacked once before. It is not a pleasant experience. Go in and change your stuff. Oh, this
public service announcement of the day.
Yeah, exactly. This story makes me sad.
This one just makes me confused. Yeah. Terribly confused.
It hurts my feelings quite a bit. But, haha, you see that tease? That was pretty good. You have to wait just a moment to hear what story makes us sad and what confuses Sam while I tell you about Audible.com. Audible.com is a great place to go for audiobooks. They have tons of audiobooks, over 100,000 titles that you can pick from. And what we're doing, if you go to audibletrial.com/8DAG, you can get a free 30-day free trial. Okay? You sign up for 30 days, you get one free credit. Okay, that you're signing up basically for the gold plan, which is one credit a month at about $15 a month. You get the first month free with a free credit, and you can download any audiobook worth one credit for that month. Okay, one credit is more than enough. I mean, books that are $40, $50, $60 that are, you know, 12, 15 hours long are still only one credit. I've never bought a book that's over one credit, to be completely honest. So you go in, you buy a book, you listen to it. After 30 days, if you don't like Audible, which I don't think you're going to do, but if you don't like it, you cancel, you get to keep the book for free as our gift to you for trying out Audible. So go try it out. I mean, it's a free book, if nothing else, you know. Audible is part of the Amazon family, so it's very easy to get your billing information over there. You don't have to sit there for an hour filling forms out. Once you get it, I know you're going to love it, and I know you're going to keep it. I know I did. I tried a trial from someone else and fell in love with Audible. It's fantastic. I am constantly waiting for that next credit to come up just so I can get the next book on my wish list. So if you like audiobooks, check them out. It's audibletrial.com/8DAG. As I said in previous episodes, we're going to be trying to suggest an audiobook for you to try out with your credit from now on. The book this week is The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life. This is by Chris Hardwick. He's a pretty good comedian, stand-up guy. But he also, you might know him from Attack of the Show, and what else has he been on? He's been on so much is the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, he's basically one of the go-to nerds right now. And his book is basically telling you how he went from being an alcoholic and, you know, being a slob and all this stuff, and telling you how he kind of got his life back in order and decided to, you know, make things good, and just the little tricks that he used to get ahead. And they're actually, you know, you think to yourself, oh, it's a self-help book. No, it's not. It's actually, number one, it's got an incredible amount of comedy in it that makes it just hilarious to listen to. And then you've got the fact that he actually has some really good tips. So go and check it out. You can use that as your free book. Okay, it's about 6 hours and 14 minutes long, for instance. That's The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life by Chris Hardwick. So, again, that URL is audibletrial.com/8DAG, and check it out. One free audiobook from us to you. All right, our next story. This is the one that makes us sad and makes Sam confused. Federal Appeals Court has ruled that the U.S. government can, in fact, tap into Americans' communications without worrying about being sued. Yeah, let me say that again. The U.S. government can tap into your communications without worrying about being sued. That means that without a warrant, any government agency can tap onto your electronic communications and listen to everything without you being able to do a darn thing about it. Now, the caveat here is that they do say that if something happens and you get damaged in the course of them using this data, then you can sue them. But you cannot sue them for just collecting it.
That makes no sense. I mean, if so, then I'm going to start listening in on everyone's conversations, because believe me, it's not as hard as people think in the long run to get into these conversations. How is that fair? How does that even make sense?
Well, it doesn't make sense. And plus, why would they need to wiretap it if they're not going to use it?
Exactly. I mean, come on, this is America. If they want my information, if they want to aggregate me as part of a study, they can pay me for it.
Yeah. And it is truly ridiculous. I mean, like I said, it's the fact of the matter is, there is absolutely no need for them to gather this information if they have no intention on using it. Because
exactly.
You're basically, I mean, this is basically that machine in The Dark Knight, when Batman creates the machine that listens in on everybody's cell phones, and Lucius Fox says that, you know, if this machine is still here, I can't work here, and he quits. You remember that? Did you see that movie?
Yes.
Okay. That's basically what this is. It's basically listening in on absolutely everything. And if it's no good for Morgan Freeman, it's no good for me.
Exactly.
So, like I said, it makes no sense to gather this information if you have no intention on using it. So don't gather it. Wiretap the people you need to wiretap, but don't wiretap everybody. That's a waste of resources, too, if you think about it that way.
Oh, yeah.
It makes no sense. They wiretap me. What's the worst thing they're going to hear? Exactly. I'm a reasonably normal human being. Not to mention I don't talk on the phone. So
I need to go get a prepaid phone.
Burner time.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this is ridiculous. And basically what the... a couple of judges have said in the appeals court is that, for instance, quote, although such a structure may seem anomalous and even unfair, the policy judgment is one for Congress, not the courts, end quote. Basically, they're passing the buck. They said, this will be the easiest judgment for us, but Congress can come back and change it. Really? Really, guys? I mean, we can't just take care of anything in the first run.
Hold on. Now, I've praised before our court system because we have a lot of good judges that definitely stand for civil liberties. These three are not it. Specifically, the phrase judgment, policy, judgment that would almost fall under something a court would do, make judgments, yeah?
You would think.
Oh, that's amazing. So you're expecting a branch of the government that is specifically not supposed to provide judgment and usage and determining fair use. You're passing the buck to them, even though it specifically says that's not what they're for and that's not their job.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you take into consideration that the Supreme Court is supposed to rule on the constitutionality of laws, I mean, they're the ones judging whether or not Congress's laws are constitutional. So
exactly.
Why does this come down to Congress's choice, you know?
Right. This is literally why our government doesn't work. That's not that right there isn't even an option.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me laugh. Anyway,
all right. I'm gonna say I'm taking down these judges' names, and I don't know what I can do to them.
I don't know. Maybe wiretap him.
Exactly.
It's Judge Michael Daley Hawkins.
True, and then maybe I can impeach them. And then they can sue me and get my 12 cents.
And Judge Harry Pregerson. I'm going to say it's Pregerson. So.
Okay.
Yeah, call these guys. Say, hey, what the heck you thinking?
Exactly. I've got to explain to you how America works. You know, I figure if you worked for it, you'd understand a little bit better.
You would think. I guess
not.
All right. Next story. This one's actually yours. I'm going to let you have this, and you take it away, Sam.
Okay. Well, it's been a little quiet on the all right, that's a lie. It has not been quiet on the old WebOS front as of late.
That's a lie, too.
Well, there's a very long ongoing drama with WebOS, and suffice to say, last night it got a little bit more complicated. It seems that HP, who whenever they bought WebOS was going to become a hardware and services company, well, when they bought Palm, it was going to become a hardware and services company, but then they got a new CEO, Leo Apotheker, and he decided to spin off the hardware and become only a services company. Well, not even roughly a year after that, we have Meg Whitman, who is the CEO now, and she is deciding to spin off most of the services, some of the services, and generally stay a hardware company. So, seeing as WebOS has no hardware, and that means it's a service, WebOS is now back to being owned by an independent company, a startup, Graham, GRAM. What does it do? We don't know. What is its mission? Not sure yet. What all are they going to be in control of? Well, cloud services, well, independent cloud services, WebOS, Inyo, the app framework that HP's been working on is going under them, a few smaller other segments of services. But it is, they're saying nothing about it. There's nothing, I absolutely nothing. So we have no idea what the future, at this point in time, we have no idea what the future of WebOS or Inyo or anything could be, because we know nothing about this company and they are saying nothing. Literally, they're supposed to, if you work for the company or you have a friend, family who does, this is what you're supposed to say. Graham is a new company. We are in stealth mode on our product offering. Stealth mode? Are you serious? I just don't, I really don't know how to take this news. I'm hopeful because there was no way anyone was going to license WebOS from HP when HP would always fall back to it to be a competitor if Windows falls through. That's just what HP would do. So with it being its own standalone company, this allows it to HP to access through intercompany licensing rights, have access to WebOS or to core features of WebOS. Since WebOS is going open source, there's still other things that WebOS needs without violating any agreement with Microsoft. So it's a next step in the fallback plan. At the same time, what I really think is that if WebOS fails in the next year and Graham goes under, it doesn't hurt HP. They'll write Graham off as an expense on their next quarter. And if Graham goes down, it goes down.
Makes sense.
So, yep. But for those WebOS fans out there that listen, we'll know more in the coming months.
So that's all, what, 3-4 people?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, three or four people, they can start a revolution.
Oh, well, I guess so.
The WebOS revolution. Okay.
All right, this next story is also yours, so I'm going to let you have this one too.
Yay.
Sam's got things to do.
All right, well, do you like porn? Do you like porn on your phone? Do you like porn that uses Flash? If so, you can no longer have it.
Oh, come on.
Well, Adobe is no longer, they've pulled Adobe Flash from the app market. If you already have it installed, you'll maintain getting service updates for Android. However, it is no longer available. So any new Android phones, such like that, not going to have a Flash player. So note, any of you who are out there using websites or anything like that that requires a Flash install and you're thinking about upgrading, you might want to, you know, double check to make sure you can still get it on that device. I'm going to assume they haven't really provided much in the regards to the way of who it's available for, if it's left over in older Android app markets or if it's just been pulled entirely. I haven't found that yet. But sadly, Flash is it took 3 years or so?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, for Flash to fully die, but it is gone. Because let's face it, if it's not on Android, you know, and desktop markets are shrinking, Flash is dead.
It's definitely getting there. And I mean, to be honest, I'm not all that sad about it.
No.
Number one thing that kills my laptop battery is Flash. It's usually a stupid ad at the side of a website I'm trying to read.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But there's only going to be limited support for Flash in Windows 8. Well, that's because they use Silverlight. What is it? Yeah, so there's not any up and coming. That means Android, Windows Phone 8, and Windows Phone 8 probably won't support it at all. and iOS, the big three, you know, they have, there's no Flash on them anymore. Yeah. That's it.
Let's see here. Actually, I'm going through news feeds. I found something interesting here to end our show on. Microsoft, you remember we talked about the RT tablet, the I think it was an ARM-based. Yeah. It was an ARM-based tablet PC that has Windows 8 on it. And they'll have Windows 8 RT, which is kind of a little bit of a stripped-down version.
Mm-hmm.
We were curious about pricing. And we were saying, oh, well, the regular tablet is probably going to cost $1,000 because that just seems like something Microsoft would do. Forbes has some anonymous sources who are telling them that Windows RT tablet prices should be somewhere around $200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? So they're shooting for October 26th as their release date, and the RT tablets are being said to cost $200.
Look, that's if the Surface nice. Is $200, which I doubt it, but if it is, $200 or around $200, $250 for a Surface tablet, that's a good investment.
That's a great investment.
I mean, you get full use of all of your Microsoft-supported products, Office and such, all integrated. That's a very aggressive move by Microsoft, and it makes me wonder, since this is their first truly integrated hardware design, how they're doing it for $250, unless they're just doing it for a strict loss.
That's very possible, but also
it's the strategy that worked for the Xbox.
It is, and something else you can think of is the fact that, well, I mean, and it's also the strategy for the Nexus 7 tablet and for the Amazon Kindle.
Right.
And they seem to be doing just fine.
Yep.
Another thing, what really makes me interested in this is not so much the RT tablet being $200, but if that one is that low, I want to know what the Pro tablet is going to cost.
Well, that means it's probably going to be in line, my guess then, would be it'd be in line with a regular high-end desktop computer, which would be anywhere between $600 and $1,000. But I don't think any company would ever make a $1,000 tablet.
No, see, I'm thinking it'll probably be in the $500 range to compete with the iPad.
Right. Man, the thing is, with it not being the ARM, the Intel-based ones are going to have more... I expect them to have a higher internal hard drive, internal memory by default. So I would actually, if it's going to be in line with the iPad, I don't expect it to be in line with the least expensive one.
Well, see, I don't... I think if they play their cards right and add in a lot of, you know, free cloud storage and make like a 16 gigabyte version, you know, and take, you know, sell it at just cost, they can probably hit a $500 price point. And then what they have to do is have a expansion card slot for extra memory. That way you can add on another 32 gig micro SD card, or depending on the size of the tablet in general, if you can squeeze in a full-sized SD card, those go up to, you know, 128 gigabytes right now.
To be honest, I expect all the Intel-based ones, the full Windows 8 tablets, to the majority of them, because they're going to be the enterprise ones, they'll have USB ports. I promise you.
Very true.
So, you'll be able to have external hard drives. That would actually be awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to those. I don't think I'm going to buy one, but I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what Microsoft can do.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely. The Woz is actually interested in Windows 8, so I mean, if he is, Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
He's openly said that he likes Nokia's Windows phones. He's looking forward to the Windows Phone 8. And he likes the way and the attitude Microsoft's taking with Windows 8. So, you know, if he is neutral, he is true neutral. You don't get more neutral than him. He likes technology, and when he sees good technology, and he says that, he's rarely wrong.
Yeah, the Woz just likes cool toys.
Exactly.
He's one of the perfect geeks.
Exactly.
He has like no affiliation. He just loves good toys. That's cool.
So that means if it's got his backing, it's definitely something to take seriously. Regardless of what all these other online reviewers and everything are saying, none of them are as experienced as him when it comes to reviewing a product.
Very true. All right, guys, that's our episode for today. We're going to join you back next week for more exciting technology news and hopefully another audiobook that you can spend your Audible credit on.
Yay!
All right, Sam, tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you.
Well, to find me in all the places where I am, go to about.me/... Hang on, let me pull this up. / Samuel Briggs. Nice. I had to remember. I didn't remember if I put Sam or Samuel. That's about.me/ Samuel Briggs. And that has my Twitter, my Facebook, practically everything. It's also got my band's page on it. Well, it will have my band's page on it, I think. Yes, it does. On Facebook, I've got the sauce there. Figure I'll advertise myself for a little second.
And it still has you planking over a trash can.
Indeed. For those of you who are fans who were fans of planking, I know it's no longer the in thing to do, and I had my hands up doing quotes when I said that. There is a picture of me planking on a trash can, an open trash can.
That's awesome.
That was very painful. In the world's smallest park, because I'm actually in a park. That those, if you look at this picture, between the yellow guards is a park.
I know where that is. it's like a 5x8 patch of grass with a lunch table on it.
Exactly.
In the middle of a parking lot.
It's set up. Awesome. There's a law out here that says that you cannot put any adult entertainment near, you know, adult entertainment stores, whether, you know, I mean, any form of adult entertainment stores within X amount of miles from a public park.
Yeah.
So the city put this tiny little patch of grass into the middle of a parking lot and then put guards around it, put a lunch table there and called it a park so that none of those companies could move into the area.
Yeah. That shows you what cities are willing to do to keep those dreaded porn people out of our cities when everybody in the city has internet.
Exactly. In fact, you can sit at the park and look it up on... you could look it up on your older Android phones, but...
you know, they need to put Wi-Fi at that park, and then... Oh, actually, from that park, you might be able to hit the bread company's Wi-Fi.
Should be able to, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that park has porn dripping all over it.
Exactly.
It's lousy with porn. Anyway... if you guys want to get a hold of me, my email is jesse@8daysgeek.com. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at Pen of Doom. Anything else you want to know about, you can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find me there. If you want to leave a voicemail or send us a text, the number is 754-273-6397. In case you were watching a little too much porn, that number is 754-273-6397. Be sure to check out the website if you're into movies or comic books at all. We just got back from Wizard World. We have a load of pictures on the site. We did a daily recap for all 4 days we were there. Brandon should be coming up with a top 8 costume contest that he'll be posting pretty soon. We did moderate some panels. Tim, our associate editor, and Brandon, our senior editor, both did panels. Tim did... an NCIS panel. Let's see, he did the Peter Mayhew, Jeremy Bullock panel, which is Chewbacca and Boba Fett. And he did another one, and I'm going to get this guy's name wrong. His last name's Jenkins. I think his first name was Jeremy or something like that, because we're making fun of him being Leroy Jenkins. He's a comic book artist. And then Brandon did a True Blood panel with Sam Trammell.
Ooh.
So, yeah, and I got to meet Colin Ferguson. I trounce all of them. They might have been able to do panels, but I got to talk to Colin Ferguson, who is the sheriff, Sheriff Jack Carter on Eureka. So, I'm special.
Awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, guys, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/8DAG, you'll get a free credit. Try it out. for audible.com and see if you like it. You know, a free audiobook. You might as well. There's no point, no reason not to. That's like at least $15, if not more. If you search on there for a long audiobook, you could be getting a $30, $40 audiobook for free. So check it out. And hey, if you like porn, 50 Shades of Grey is on there too.
Exactly.
You can get a 50 Shades of Grey for free. Might as well, right? I don't know. So tune back in next week, guys. We'll bring you more tech news. And Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.